Father, we just thank you this morning, and we praise you for all those who came to sit at your presence. I thank you, Father God, that you are the author and finisher of all things in our lives. And Father, each and every person that came out here this morning, I looked over the congregation. They are your leaders that you are preparing to do the great mighty works that's coming upon this land. And I'm asking you this morning, Father God, to fill them to overflowing. Give them wisdom, Father God, way beyond their years. And let them understand what thus saith the Lord. And Father, we thank you for all this. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus. Amen. And Father God, different ones have been telling me they've seen the angels in the sanctuary. And so, Father, I'm just asking you right now to allow your Holy Spirit to move in the angelic host to do the job that you sent him to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I've been reading up a lot about angels and their activity and how God used them mightily in every aspect of life, right? And we need to start using our angels instead of just trying to do everything ourselves. I'm not going to speak about angels this morning, but I just feel that the people in the body of Christ do not use, well, God told me this, the people in the body of Christ do not use all the weapons he has given us to fight our battles. And if we would just start using his weapons that he has in the word to fight the battles, we wouldn't be fighting battles, we would be in his perfect peace. All right? This morning, God wants to talk about perilous times. And this is what he said. Who has revoked your right to use the power and authority I have given you to defeat the enemy at every turn? Now think about that. He said, I certainly did not. You still have all power and all authority over the enemy in the world and over your soul. So just stop, think about that. Who has revoked your right to use the power and authority that God has given you to defeat the enemy at every turn? You know, in the body of Christ, we are not defeating the enemy at every turn, are we? The enemy, as far as I can see, the enemy is winning too many times when he should be losing all the time. Now, that's what God said. Now, Timothy was facing so much opposition, and Paul spoke to Timothy about how people and civilization will become so immoral and dark. And let's read what Paul told Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And what did God say? We're in the last days, right? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. See? For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Doesn't that describe our generation right now? It's exactly what was going on in Timothy's day is going on right now today. And God said, Where was that at? Oh, and he said in verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. We are not supposed to associate with those who are not following God. Is there a problem with this or something? What? I'm supposed to eat it, put it up, pull it away, like that. All right. Was I fading in and out? It sounded to me like I was fading in and out. I'm sorry. All right, just think about it. This was a very long time ago, But right now we are in the same perilous time, for men should be lovers of themselves. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I look around, even in the church, because that's where I'm at the most, is in the church, I can't believe how people are acting. I can't believe their attitudes. I can't believe their lifestyles. And they're professing to be children of God, and they're not. They're just professing to be. All right, the word perilous means dangerous. Look around us at how self-centered the world has become. It's all about themselves, what people want to do and be. And then I thought about Sister Nancy's teaching Wednesday night where she said, well, what about me? See, it's all about themselves, what people want to do and be. All right, let's just stop there. All right, Nancy taught that. And I've been having a mess in my house. And, I was saying, this is my house. You're going to follow my rules. This is my house. This is my house. And whenever Nancy was teaching that, God says, whose house do you live in? It's God's house. All right? You can't do these things in God's house, not my house. It's God's house. Boy, and you know what? That freed me up. And everything's been sort of fine ever since. Because now I know whose house it is. It's God's house. I've always known that. But see, just like Nancy was saying, all of a sudden something took her over and said, well, what about me? And so something, I got really excited in the wrong way. And I'm saying, look what you're doing to my house. All right? Think about what you're saying is what I'm trying to get across here. Everything you own belongs to God. Nothing belongs to you. Everything you have is given to you by God, and it belongs to God. And yours, God gives it to you to take care of it. Just like he said, told me one time about children. They are not your children. I just lent them to you. They belong to me, and I lent them to you to bring up in my ways. Look at my baby. Look at my baby. Isn't my baby beautiful? You know, isn't that what we say? Look at God's baby. Didn't he make a beautiful little baby? Start thinking about this. Nothing you have belongs to you. This is what God told me. He said everything belongs to him, and he just lends it to us. All right, now let's talk about Lot. Lot was vexed day by day by what was going on around him. And 2 Peter 2, 7-8 said, and delivered righteous Lot. Lot was a righteous man who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. How many of you are vexed by what Christians are doing? We expect it out of the world, but we don't expect it out of Christians, right? And you know, God told me you have to live in the world. The world has to go on. You just can't. The world doesn't stop just because you got saved. And we have to learn to live in this corrupt world, even in the church. And even though, I don't know about you, but how many of you are vexed? You're really vexed, you know, because people just are really blaspheming the name of Jesus. All right? That's not a bad thing. I think that's sort of a good thing, that you don't agree with what's going on in the house of God when it's wrong. All right, they were vexed with the filthiness of this world by their unlawful deeds. Many people in the church are ever learning, but never coming to knowledge of the truth. Don't you see that too? Having a form of godliness, but denying the cross, the power, and the truth. And you find that 2 Timothy 3:7. You know, sometimes I say, God, are they ever going to get it? Don't you sometimes, when you're talking to a person over and over and over again, God, when are they ever going to get this? They hear the truth over and over and over again, but they never change. Isn't that right? You know, you live the life, you preach the life to them, and you live it, and yet they still wallow in their sins, believing they're just fine, and you're wrong. Amen? You're the one that's wrong, not them. During these times, what we basically must do is to do the opposite thing that Paul is warning us that the people will be doing, and turn away from those who do it. So Paul told us everything that's going to be happening told to Timothy. He said, Timothy, don't you do those things. Turn away from those things. And don't even fellowship with them, he said. Isn't that what he said? All right, a truce breaker is one who violates a truce, covenant, or engagement. And then word fierce, having intense and ferocious aggressiveness. People are standing for something that God is against, like abortion. It seems like everything that is not, that is godly, you know, they're standing against it. And everything that's ungodly, they're cheering it on, right? You know, the world has become very, very, very corrupt. I'm sorry, but the seat is extra high today, and I'm having a hard time adjusting it. We're just going to try to push it out of the way. So I want you guys to know one thing. You are right, and the rest are wrong. It's just that simple. You know the Word of God. Hold on to the Word of God. Don't let go of the Word of God. We have to keep going on with God, no matter what is going on in the world. You know, somebody said they watched a video about how somebody the Christians were being tortured, and they repented of them whining. And, you know, and I didn't see the video, but I said, you know, God, I had to repent about whining too, because really we are not being tortured as of yet. And just a little bit of coming against that we get from the outside really should not bother us at all. We should be stronger than that. How are you going to win anybody to Christ if they see you being weak every time something that you don't agree with comes down the pike? All right? Think about this as we go along here. We are living in a time that it is illegal to be who you are. I'm so sick and tired of the schools trying to tell my kids are homeschooled, but telling the kids that they're something they're not. All right, we are living in a time that is illegal to be who you are, and fierce people are coming after you. If you follow the government at all, everybody that's for God is being put in jail, fined, or something bad done to them. Just because they follow God. You know, and that's what I call fierce people. They're ignorant people, and they're coming against God's people. One day they're going to pay. But right now they're coming against, right? We need to tap into the power and love of God and learn how to reach people during these perilous times. And this is why God has been teaching us about love. If we don't have love, we have no power. Are you listening? So I pray for this church all the time. God, let them be lovers. Let them learn what the love of Christ is all about. And when I see you being offended all the time, or I see you in your sins all the time, I know you have not yet perfected love. You have not yet understood what love, the love of God, is all about. The love of God will take you where you would never go on your own. And that's a good place. He will take you and he will hide you where the enemy can't touch you. But you have to understand how much he loves you. And once you understand how much he loves you, then you start trusting him. Are you listening? Years ago, one time, God to me, he said, daughter, you have to trust me. I said, I do. He said, no, you don't. So I had to, you know, look at my life, and I realized I didn't really trust him at that point. And so I had to turn around, repent, and then put my trust back in God again. And I know that some of you sitting in here this morning, you've done that many times also. Begin going along just fine, and all of a sudden something happens and you really don't trust God to the fullest the way you used to. You don't trust him for your healing. You don't trust him for your family. You can't trust him for your job. You know what I'm saying? You don't really trust God to the fullest. If we really trusted God, we would never worry, would we? And worry's a sin anyhow. If we really trusted him, we'd be in perfect peace, wouldn't we? Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Now as Ananias and Omris resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. We don't have to worry about those who are not doing what God's calling them for to do. You need to keep your nose into your business. You let God handle everybody else around about you. And I want you to really think, I know there's times that you really, instead of having your nose in your own business, what God's doing with you, you're trying to get everybody around about you to line up with God. And you can't do that. I've tried that for too many years. And I'll tell you, and I said it again, God told me you are not the Holy Spirit and you're not me. And if we can't get them changed, why do you think you can? We're trying to be the Holy Spirit in God. And God said, he tells you what he's going to do with them. Then you place them in their hands and you let go of it. Right? Many are like Ananias and Ambres. They are resisting the truth. The truth is the truth, and it's not going to change as time goes by. It just isn't. God's not going to change his mind. It's in the Word. It's cemented there. Verse 8 says, men of corrupt minds and reprobate concerning the faith. That means that something has changed and their folly is being manifested to all men. In other words, they might have been following God at one time, but all of a sudden something happened. You read a lot about this. One little thing happens right away, it's God's fault. Right away, I'm not going to follow God no more. And they turn to the world. But God is, he said, he's going to lift the skirts. He's going to reveal what these people are up to. We must remember we are called to live godly in Christ Jesus, and for this reason we shall suffer persecution. All right? Some of you just aren't set out to be a warrior because you can't suffer persecution. When your wife starts to rant and raving, you lose your religion right away. God doesn't see, you know, God's not in control, and off you go, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. Paul's talking to Timothy. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Icoma, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Do you see that? And it's going to come from your own family. It's going to come from your friends in church. Because the enemy's going to use any avenue he can to destroy you. Why can't we grasp that? What is there in us that keeps wanting to hold on to the things of the world and get all upset when somebody comes against us? There's something in there that's not godly that make you do that, right? If we are not partaking of the things of the world that the world is offering and not contaminated by them, we will suffer persecution. Why do you think President Trump's going under such persecution? Because he's trying to do right in the world, and the enemy hates him. Why do you think Biden's getting away with everything that he's doing? Because he's not trying to, he doesn't walk with God, and he's not trying to do the best for America. You see what I'm saying here? You will suffer persecution if you're following God. Your parents won't understand you. Your kids won't understand you. Your coworkers won't understand you. You're going to be standing there all by yourself. Are you going to be able to endure that? I'm just hearing God say he never calls a weakling into his kingdom. So if God has called you, there you do have strength and you do have stability. And I don't know if you don't know it, but if you don't know it, the enemy's trying to make you believe you are not strong, and he's doing that so that you don't do the works that God wants you to do, and that works is to tear down the devil's kingdom, right? And if he can get the body of Christ offended with each other, he has a good foothold. And if he can come into your family and get you offended with each other, he has a better foothold, because then he tears the family apart and everybody, you know, is affected. where am I at? All right, we are not to partake in breaking covenant with the truth or anything that is ungodly, anything that has a form of God but denies its power. You know, we are not to partake in breaking covenant with the truth. You know the truth. You know your word, right? And so you're trying to tell somebody what the word says, and they keep bombarding you with the fact that that's not what the Bible is saying. You don't back down. You stand on the truth of what you know, period. All right. You can't win anybody to Christ if you keep backing down. And if you know that you're weak and can't stand on the truth, well, then don't bring it up. Just don't bring it up. Leave it alone. All right. Anything that has a form of God but denies its power. All right. So we know there's churches out there that deny there is a Holy Spirit. Well, don't be partaker of that. We know that the Holy Spirit is here, alive and well. We know it's the Holy Spirit that's leading, guiding, and directing us. We don't have to convince somebody else that that's true. If you decide you want to bring the subject up and just tell them about it, then do that, but leave it alone if they're going to argue about it. Because you're not going to win the argument. Just leave it alone. You know the truth. You stand on the truth. Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, but he was a righteous man in the land. He disagreed with what was going on, and that's Genesis 18. This is where you'll find the story about Lot. He was vexed day to day, but he was not corrupted by it. In 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't think I have a standard place house, but Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of homosexuality. There's nobody in this world is going to convince me that you can be homosexual and go to heaven. My word doesn't tell me that. My word tells me that if you're a homosexual, you will go to hell. And, you know, if I'm around people and they want to argue about it, I just shut up. I'm not going to argue with you about the Bible. I am not. You pick up the Bible and get yourself saved first. Then you pick up the Bible and you ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand what the Word of God is saying. And this is what you should tell people. You know, you get saved and then you, for yourself, get the Bible and learn. This is how I learned. How did you learn? Just listen to somebody? That's not good. You should get the Word of God, ask the Holy Spirit to read with you, and let the Holy Spirit teach you what the Word of God is saying. I say that because God didn't want me to go away to Bible school. He said, I don't want you filled with man's doctrine. My Holy Spirit will teach you what's in my Word. And that's how it happened. So why do we look to man all the time to teach us? Let's let the Holy Spirit teach us. All right, we should thank God for not being deceived or deceiving. People that are deceived cannot receive from people that are not deceived. I'm sorry, people that are deceived cannot receive from people that are not deceived because of pride. Deception's birthing ground is pride. It births false Christ, false ways, and false voices. To know you are not deceived is to know Him and to know the power to become as He is. If you're walking in deception, you sure can't get anybody else saved. Because you'll lead them down the same path you're down, which is not a good one, right? You know, guys, you're going to have to understand that a lot of you or your family is never going to accept your way, your walk with God. They just are not. So why do you get all upset? Even Jesus' brother didn't think he was Jesus, the Messiah. You know, and that was his own brother. So what makes you think people are going to agree with you? And why does that get you upset? Because they don't agree with you. But think about these things. Paul was encouraging Timothy to continue in the things we have learned concerning faith and truth, concerning the Holy Scriptures that are able to make us wise unto salvation. And I'm trying to encourage you this morning to stand on what the truth that you've learned. Because it's this truth, you know, as I was typing this up, God said it's this truth that I'm able to use you to go out there and win the lost for him. You know, when you go out there to win the lost, they're not going to say, oh, I want that. They're not going to do that. They're going to come against you, ask you all kind of silly questions, and they're going to try to destroy your faith. All right? A lot of us have run into that, have we not? Now, how did you fare with that? Did you receive it like it was? You know, I mean, just go on about your business? Or did what they were doing to you upset you? You know, poor Christopher, he joined my club here. he joined a church years and years and years ago. His family, I don't know if they're still done, but they come against him terribly, trying to get him out of the church. It said all manner of evil about the church. But he didn't care. He had to live with these people too, because he was still at home. But he didn't care. He knew that God was in control. And he stood his ground. And look what God has done for him this day. Wonderful things, right? It's the same way with you in your homes. You know, you might live with a bunch of unsaved people that you don't have to live like they live. You know, you stay in your ground and you live the way God's telling you to live. If you live in an alcoholic home and you're trying to get out of alcoholism, you don't have to partake of their drinking. Why do you have to do that? Save face? What face are you saving? It's Christ you're supposed to be concerned about, not the people around about you. Same way with drugs. Everybody tells you, well, you know, I can't quit drugs because so-and-so does drugs. Isn't that a shame? You're going to let somebody else lead you to hell. You don't do something because somebody else does it. You are an individual, are you not? Then you walk that way, right? Somebody else should not be walking in your shoes telling you what to do. And this is what's happening in the body of Christ. Too many people are allowing two other people to walk in their shoes and telling them what to do. All right? You know, with Brother Allen, God called him a wild man. Isn't that what he called you, a wild man? And, you know, and he is wild. You know, especially when he doesn't get a haircut. You make sure his hair is cut. But, you know, he doesn't care because he knows what, you know, Christ, what God has called him to do, and he's doing it the way God wants him to do it. Are you understanding this? All right, so if John the Baptist could run through the woods in a camel's hair and eat honey and wild locusts, why can't we be wild? Why can't we be who God's called us to be? You know, John the Baptist didn't change his lifestyle because people made fun of him. And they did that, you know. I'm hearing God say, some of you tone down when you're trying to minister to somebody, you tone down your words because you don't want them to get upset while you're ministering to them. Well, every now and then I get wild and I say, I'm going to tell you the truth. You're going straight to hell. That's just the way it is. Because, you know, they're not listening to anything you're saying to them. And here's the reason why you're going to go to hell. Then I tell them. And, you know, they have to face the truth sometime. And I'm not going to have their blood on my hands. I'm really, how about you? You're really sweet to them, you know, for a while. And after a bit, they get ridiculous. And then you have to, okay, here's the truth. I'm tired of playing games with you now. You might die today, and then, God is going to get on me because I didn't tell you the truth. So they don't mind telling you to go there, do they, when they're mad at you? Right? So why do we not want to tell them that? Isn't that right? Some of you are like me, you hear it a lot. You know. So anyhow, 2 Timothy, where were we? 2 Timothy 3:14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Paul's saying to Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for corrections, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul's saying, Timothy, you learned this from me, and you know what kind of walk I have. Continue in what you learned. So see, if you're going to teach somebody, then make sure you're walking the right walk and you're not leading anybody astray. All right, Matthew 24, verse 6 says, Jesus said, and you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Aren't we hearing of rumors and rumors of wars? For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of what? Sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now this is going on overseas. They are being killed for their belief. But God told me it was going to come on our soil also. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Isn't that going on right now? Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. God told me years ago the false prophets are on the scene. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And isn't that what's going on? But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The gospel has not yet been preached to everybody, so the end is not here right now. Matthew 24:12, and because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. One of the prophetic signs of the end time is that the love of many shall wax cold. That means the fervency and the intensity with which some started serving God will begin to go wane. Now, I've heard, I've been reading a lot lately where there's been pastors preaching for 30 years, and then they quit the ministry and claim what they taught was not right. I mean, they were on fire. These people were great on fire for God preachers, preaching the truth with signs and wonders. And something happened and they just quit and say, everything I did was not right. Don't you be one of those. Don't deny Christ and don't deny his word. Be happy that you are being attacked and not being taken over by the devil. All right? If you are being attacked, that means a force is working against you from the outside in. If you are being deceived, possessed, or used by the Antichrist spirit, you are being taken over from within. There's a difference, all right? Eventually, all mankind will be possessed or taken over by a spirit. We will become one with either the spirit of this age or the spirit of God. There's no middle ground. This is the war. Kingdom against kingdom, darkness against light, good against evil. And that's what we're fighting right now, right? Perilous times relate to the book of Jude in verses 7 through 21. And as Jude says, many despising authorities, that's going on. Speaking evil of the truth, that's going on. Speaking evil of the church of Christ, that's going on. Speaking evil things of the Holy Spirit because they don't know they're about the Holy Spirit. That's going on. So that's what Jude says, all right? These are the things that's going on, and they're going on now. In Numbers 16, 1 through 40, Korah resisted the authority, and that's going on right now. Korah spoke against Moses. He spoke against dignity. That's going on now. All right. You see where we're at? You see what's going on? And do you see that we have to become holy and remain holy? We need to become steadfast in what we believe in. First of all, we need to know the truth, because the truth will set you free. Then we need to be steadfast in what we believe. All right. Romans 13:2 says, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. You know, there's so many families where the children just resist the authority of their parents. They think they can do and say anything they want to say, but God is watching and God is in control, and there's going to come a day when you're going to be reprimanded for that. Romans 13, 12 through 14 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. That was one of the reasons why I put together that song service, because I wanted you to just really engross yourself, your spirit in Christ today, this morning. I wanted you just to really sing that song like you really meant it, all the songs. And I know that some of you couldn't sing those songs, but still, not they were the words were there, that you should have been allowing them to just seep into your spirit, man. Allow the words of Christ, his love for you, just to take you over, right? And if whenever you listen to these, if you just sit and listen to these songs really in a quiet place, they will minister to you. And they will do what they're supposed to do. But we sort of come into the house of God, and not sort of, we do come into the house of God, and for some reason or other, can't quite get into praise and worship. And I don't understand, but yet you'll tell me you listen to praise and worship all day in your home. Well, if that's the case, why can't you do it in the house of God? What's distracting you? You know, that you can't worship in the house of God. What is distracting you is the enemy, right? He knows if you get lost in praise and worship, then he's lost. You know, I love it when I see people come up here and start dancing in the spirit, you know, when a song was going on. I know that at that point, Christ has really captured their heart and just taken them over, and they're just yielding to whatever he wants them to do, right? All right, whatever is truth, we must stand by it. We cannot be a man-pleaser to a man that rejects the truth but pleases their own lust. Filthy dreamers are not only about people that have perverted dreams, but who dream dreams filled with the lust of their own belly. Everybody is led by a spirit. Which spirit are you led by? We must remember the words spoken by other apostles and prophets that came before us, and we need to walk according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 through 26. Verse 19 says, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity or from sin. I don't see that in the body of Christ. Do you? I do not. People say, oh, I love God, I'm just like Jesus, but you still have that sin nature that you keep bowing to all the time. It takes power to live in the world and overcome it. It takes a lot of determination, doesn't it? And you have to have a forehead of flint, a backbone of steel, or that enemy's going to walk all over you. And you're going to have to know who you are in Christ. You're going to have to learn to suffer. You're going to have to learn to be rejected, right? Because all these things are going to happen to you when you really and truly submerge yourself in God and start walking with him 100%. Verse 21 says, I said it takes power to live in the world and overcome it. And verse 21 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, be sanctified as a vessel. Purge yourself from all impurity. Resist what you see. Flee from youthful desire. See, you're supposed to get out of your mess that you used to be in. Jesus said when he went away in John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, these people who say the Holy Spirit doesn't exist, they must erase that out of their Bible. You know? Because right there in the Word of God, Jesus promises he's going to send the Holy Spirit. He will not leave us comfortless. All right, so I said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. It's the Holy Spirit that nudges you and reminds you of what God said he's going to do with you. I'm sorry, you're not all that intelligent that you can nudge your own self. You tell yourself all kind of stuff, wouldn't you? It's the Holy Spirit. Remember, God said it's no longer religion, it's spirit calling to spirit. And if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit, then who do you believe in? And who's leading, guiding, and directing you? The promise for us is the helper. The helper helps. But you also have to know that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he will not push his way into your life. You have to invite him into your life. In the morning, do you just say good morning to the Father and to the Son, or do you say good morning to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and also the angelic host who is coming to help you, right? And I remind the angels that too. You're here to help me today. You keep me safe, amen? Come on. The promise for us is the helper. The helper helps. We can't do this alone. A lot of people think they can. But as we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, he will guide us into all truth. That's why you need to ask the Holy Spirit to come when you're reading your Bible to help you really see the truth. And remember, God said we're going to see things in the Word we've never seen before. And how many of you have done that? You know, I didn't see that there before, but it's been there all along. It was your time to know that, and the Holy Spirit prompted you to look at that and showed you what was being said there. But as we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, he will guide us into all truth. We have the calm assurance that the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct our footsteps. During this perilous time, we need the Holy Spirit more than ever. Call upon the Holy Spirit and allow him to help you in every area of your life. God said the Holy Spirit would bring all things to our remembrance that Jesus said to us. I know a lot of us forget what God has said to us. You know, a lot of time I'm talking to different people in the church and I say, oh, I forgot God said that. You know, they remind me of what God said. How many of you like that? You forget. And then somebody, you know, what happens is God wants you to remember that. So he prompts the Holy Spirit and somebody else to come and say to you, you know, God, this is what God said. Amen. And it's really something very important that we should know and not forget. But we forgot about it. Because we forgot about it, we're having a hard time. Because we forgot that God told us he was going to do this thing for us. All right, this is what God said to start this sermon out with, this teaching out with. God asked this question, who has provoked your right to use the power and authority I've given you to defeat the enemy at every turn? He says, I certainly did not. You still have all power and all authority over the enemy in the world and over the enemy of your soul. Or do you still use the power and authority that God has given us? He tells us over and over again that we have all power and all authority, does he not? So we have no excuse for any negative thing that we walk in. Are you listening? You know, something happened to me this morning and I said, I can't get negative. I've been positive about this. I can't get negative, and I just kept speaking positive things. See, the enemy will put things in your life to cause you to get into negativity. He will. You can say he won't, but he will. I didn't get this old to not learn something in my lifetime. Amen. Isn't that right? God is good. Now, you who have the truth, hold on to the truth, because we are in perilous times, and the enemy is fighting every one of God's chosen elect. He's fighting them every way he can fight them, throwing everything he has at you. Do not allow him to win this battle. You fought so hard to get to where you're at today. You do not want to lose it. And I'm telling you, the battle's going to get rough, rougher than it is right now. The truth has already set you free, and the truth will keep you in freedom. hold tight to it. Don't allow anything you hear to sway you from what you know is the truth of God's word. Because the enemy right now is going to try to take each one of us out of the hands of God. He's going to fight us with everything he has. So you're going to have to determine right now, this morning, devil, you are not going to take me over. I am a blessed child of God, and I'm going to stay strong in God, and I'm going to do his complete will. And, you know, we see in the word, all the disciples were in battle mode all the time, were they not? So that's telling you right now that you're always going to be in battle mode. But we also, as we read it about the disciples in the word, they did not back down. God even told Peter what was going to happen to him, and Peter still went on and served him. Peter was going to suffer. He still went on and served him. He didn't sway from what he believed in. We know that he denied Christ when he was at the cross, but we also know that he repented and he came back stronger than ever. So maybe some of you, in a way, you've sort of compromised with people. You know, you just sort of just, well, okay, so, you know, sort of agreed with what they said. Well, repent for that. And then go get stronger in God. Like Paul talked to Timothy, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Follow God with all of your heart, because we are now in warfare mode. We've been growing up, you know, walking up to it, but now God told me we are thrust into the battle. We're in the battle now. And that is why you have to remember the angelic host, because some of these battles you won't be able to win on your own. You're going to need the angels to do it for you. Are you listening? And I'm hearing God say right now, he's wrapping you in his weapons of warfare. And these weapons of warfare will take you through every battle that you are going to encounter from this day forward. You have to be strong. Every one of you guys in here, you are leaders. God only sends leaders in here. You are leaders, and God has been teaching you. And pretty soon, within the next couple of months, you're going to be thrust into your ministries. Remember this teaching today. Don't compromise. That's God's been telling us that for years. Don't compromise, has he not? And, you know, my daughter from Arkansas, she called me, it's a couple years ago. She said, Mom, God told me to tell you not to compromise. And God had just told me that morning, daughter, whatever comes down the road, don't compromise. So when she called, it was a confirmation that something was going to happen and I might yield and compromise. But that from that moment forward, I watched very carefully what was coming down the road and made sure I did not compromise. So each one of you in here this morning, you have to know without a shadow of a doubt that God is with you first, that you're a child of God and God is with you. And that you know the truth, and it's the truth that set you free. And then just walk in that. Don't compromise that. You know the Holy Spirit is with you, leading, guiding, and directing every footstep. Even things you say, you know, he's saying through you. If you give him your mouth, he will speak through you. He will say things that you wouldn't even think of saying. All right? Now, God said, are you ready to lead, or are you going to still drag your feet? He wants you to think about that for a minute. Are you ready to lead? And I'm going to tell you, God has a way of humbling you. He really does. Okay, I'm going to share this. Remember the young person that was in my house that was on drugs and gave me a hard time for the past 2 years? And I really got upset, yelled and shouted and carried on like a fool. And so God, every time I talked about love, I would hear the name of that person. And even at home when I go to prayer, I was, you know, typing up a sermon or reading about love, I'd hear that name. I said, all right, God, I get the picture. I had to ask that person to forgive me. And that person was in my home giving me a whole lot of trouble. So God set the scene, and the other day, and I asked him, the Holy Spirit come on. You know how you cry when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And the Holy Spirit come over me, and I said, I would like for you to forgive me for being so ignorant and rude to you for the past couple of years. So the person looked up at me, and she said, I received that. And then I started walking away, but the Holy Spirit turned me back around again. And I called the person by name. I said, please look at me. I also want you to forgive me for calling you a bad name, because you're a human being, you're a child of God, and nobody needs to be talked to it like that. And they started crying too, and they said, you'll never know what this means to me. A seed was planted. In other words, what I'm telling you is, God humbled me. And you know, and it was just like I did my first husband, remember? She said she received what I had to say, but he said, I'll think about it. So it doesn't matter, you know, God will humble you, and he'll make you go to the person that you've done something wrong to, because you're a child of God. And that doesn't give you the right to hurt another person. All right. Please remember that. When somebody's really messed you up and come against you, you're the child of God, and you should be the one that's strong. And you should be leading them down the path of righteousness, not keep them on the path wrong and bury them with your mouth. I hope that helps somebody in here. You know, I feel better. I feel light. I feel free. I'm going to tell you, when you do what's right, you'll be happy. You'll be happy. I can finally look that person in the face and not feel the hate and resentment that I had before I asked him to forgive me. And they were really doing me wrong, but I'm a child of God, and I know better. Are you understanding this? When you go and ask somebody to forgive you, even if you're not the one really in the wrong, but you are too in the wrong, you get a freedom that I just can't explain. So I don't care who's hurt you in the past. I don't care who's hurting you right now. Are you a child of God? Then you'll endure till the end. And you'll plant seeds of righteousness and not seeds of unholiness. All right, you who have decided, I'm going to be the leader you call me to be, Father. I'm going to walk in the truth, and I'm not going to be swayed by anybody. I'm going to stay a righteous child of God. God said if you come up here, he's going to give you an anointing to stand in the midst of total darkness and win the battle. So God wants to anoint you for more strength, more power, more authority to tread on the enemy instead of the enemy treading on you.